Hello and welcome to Beach Lane Presents. My name's Leela and this morning I'm joined with Doug Wilson. Hi Doug, welcome.
Morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
It's good. Now Doug, you are going to become our new resident Kundalini yoga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very pleased and excited about this. Kundalini yoga is an interesting yoga, and there's not a lot of it here on the Bayside of Melbourne. So I think I wanted to bring you on the show today because we've got a lot of really cool programs coming up that you're bringing to Beach Lane. And just to start to introduce people to this idea of Kundalini yoga. So how about, would you like to tell us a little bit about your experience with discovering what Kundalini yoga is and what's inspired you to become a teacher of it?
For sure, yeah. I came across Kundalini yoga during my recovery from a life-threatening brain tumour. I spent about 6 months trying to recover after I had surgery on kind of traditional approaches from, you know, Western medicine, and I didn't have much progress in that time. And as things progressed, I really was looking for alternate options of getting myself better. And one of those things I came across was yoga, and specifically Kundalini yoga, which is something that I'd never heard of before. And long story short, I came across this yoga and then started practicing it quite regularly. And it was quite remarkable how quickly my health improved. Within the matter of a few months, I was back running. I was going through a process of having to learn to walk again, which was quite slow going at first, but then taking up this yoga practice definitely kicked things into gear and definitely sped up my health and opened up the doors for a lot of other things as well. So really sort of showed me whole new ways to approach health and well-being, because within Kundalini yoga there's a big spectrum of things that we do for health. So not just what we kind of do with the traditional forms of westernized yoga where we just look at mainly postures and a bit of breathing. The Kundalini yoga goes into a lot of things like meditation and healing through concentration and focus and stuff like that. So I found that this stuff was actually quite profound and really, really benefited me. So that's what led me into a daily practice and ultimately now becoming a teacher of this.
And was it something that your doctors had recommended that you take up?
Absolutely not. I thank the doctors for saving my life, absolutely. I wouldn't be here without doctors performing the surgery on me. But basically that's where it ended with the kind of Western approach was, you know, we've gotten the brain tumour out of your head, you know, off you go. I left hospital in a wheelchair and it was literally wheeled out and catch you later, like you're not going to die, best of luck type thing. And I kind of had to fumble my way through it almost. And not only that, there wasn't anything looking at like why it got like that in the first place. Like, why did I get a brain tumour? You know, like the aspects of like, why do we get sick? Why did I get a brain tumour? And, I wasn't that much of an unhealthy person, but I wasn't looking after myself the best I could have, but looking at these kind of things. So
yeah,
doctors definitely didn't point me in that direction of yoga and the things that yoga then led to.
Yeah, right. We'll come back to the why, the illness in a minute. Was Kundalini yoga something that you went, yes, Kundalini yoga, I'm going to try you? Or was it more of an organic stumbling onto the journey?
It was definitely an organic stumbling. I really hadn't had much experience with yoga in the past. I'd done some sort of yoga practices in my... I was always into running and going to the gym and stuff like that. So I'd done like, yoga classes at the gym that are just generic yoga classes and things like Bikram yoga. So that was before I got sick, but just nothing like a serious practice. And again, part of my recovery started to lead to things like energy healing, things like Reiki and things that heal the body on a more subtle level. And then it eventually led to me just wanting to go on a retreat. After I kind of got myself a bit better, I managed to get myself back over to London and New York, which is where I was living and working before I got sick.
Right.
And I sort of got over there and then had a big realization of, what am I actually doing over here? Like, coming rushing back to this. And then I decided I just wanted to go on a retreat. And I just happened to book in what I thought was a yoga retreat, which what I just thought it was going to be going and sitting on an island and stretching every day.
Sounds good.
Yeah, which was in the Greek islands and, you know, this private island. It was very beautiful. And I just thought, yep, sweet, go stretch every day. And then when I got there, I found out that it was actually Kundalini yoga. And the lady that was hosting the retreat, the first thing she asked during the first class was, you know, what's my experience with Kundalini yoga? And I just replied back, what's Kundalini yoga? Which brought laughter to everybody that was around. So that was my introduction to it, and my first reaction to it was, what the hell am I doing here? This is out there. This is really, really crazy. But I was stuck there for 8 days and I couldn't swim back to the mainland. It was too far. But I thought about it and I stuck it out, and by the end of those 8 days I'd already really experienced quite remarkable transformation within myself just from doing it twice a day for 8 days. I felt like a completely different person.
Wow, that would have been a really powerful experience. So for those who don't know, what really is the difference between Kundalini yoga and a more traditional practice of yoga?
So the westernized views of yoga that we have is more based, I believe, around two of the aspects of the eight limbs of yoga, which would be the asana practice and a little bit of pranayama.
So
which
the is asana being
the postures, and the pranayama being the breathing, which you tend to find in most modern Western forms of yoga. The biggest difference with Kundalini is it's more of what I would refer to as a grassroots version of yoga. It hasn't been adapted a lot in the thousands of years that it's been evolving. It's really got the traditional things that more focus on the complete spectrum of the eight limbs of yoga, which is all these things, so not just to do with postures and breathing. It's a full approach to focus and controlling the mind, so you can do things that can seem quite odd at first, and you'll really question yourself, why exactly am I doing this?
Which sounds like that was your experience on the island.
For sure. And I was for the first at least sort of 10 classes, I was like, what the hell are we doing here? This is just so crazy. Just, you know, these really out there breathing techniques and sitting and holding postures for like 20 minutes. And
it's a real challenge to the ego.
Oh, for sure.
Those first few times that you do take this on.
Oh, that's my mind was just completely on that trip of like, this is dumb. Like, and you know, then, you know, looking back on it now, of course, with hindsight, you can sort of say, wow, how wrong was I, like, to question something that's, you know, literally 5,000 years old, and I'm judging it on day one and completely criticizing it and saying this is wrong. And that's what I found that had been a big approach in most of my life, that I was so quick to just dismiss everything without, you know, it's easy to formulate an opinion on something without really having experience on it.
That sounds like, you know, quite a powerful revelation and a very necessary one as well.
For sure. Having that revelation is what led me to, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but being a lot more content within myself and just being willing to sort of drop those ideas of, you know, these things I'd always held strong values in my head, you know, that can get quite stubborn and, you know, I think things are this way, so that's how I'm going to be. And Kundalini yoga definitely helped me break and continues to help me to break those sort of aspects of my mind down and the way that I look at myself and therefore the way that I look at the world. Kundalini yoga is definitely something that is quite rapid at breaking those sort of like those beliefs. Egotistical beliefs down, which I think is actually a really good thing once it starts to happen. But at first, there's a lot of resistance within the self. That's what I found myself. I wanted to resist it a lot and didn't want to believe a lot of the changes that it was bringing. And that's also another reason why a lot of people aren't willing to practice Kundalini yoga. They get very much confronted in a very, very unique and sometimes quite shocking way. And it can deter people very quickly. And again, that thing of the mind can come in, that thing's stupid. Yeah. I'm going to walk away from it. And they're missing, you can miss an opportunity when that happens, because that's what yoga is designed to do, is to help us break ourselves down to really get to the root of what's real within ourselves.
As a student and a teacher of yoga within myself, I completely 100% agree with what you're saying. And also, you know, when we do start to come up against these barriers that we've placed within our minds, all of a sudden we can start to be aware of the things that aren't serving us in our lives anymore. And it's the willingness of the student to push through that.
Mm-hmm. And that's also why it's very important to have a good teacher.
Okay.
To I believe as well that has actually experienced the processes themselves. What I've found with my journey is still quite new into this world of yoga, and what I found is I've even come across teachers that are just teaching directly from a book.
Yep.
They're not teaching from direct experience or real wisdom and knowledge. That's the way that I see it. So I think having a good teacher is really paramount to having a good yoga practice for students.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like you were saying, you know, Doug, Kundalini yoga can be very confronting. And when, you know, if we're looking at your story, a story of healing and recovery, which is, you know, something that a lot of people in the Western world are experiencing, we would like to really guide them through this process as gently as possible so that they're not afraid and that they're not put off or deterred, you know, just to really ease into the process. And a good teacher is really important to do that.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So you're bringing some of your teachings to Beach Lane in a couple of different ways. You've got a workshop coming up next Sunday, which is the second part of a workshop series you're running. The balancing the chakras. So talk us through what this particular workshop is going to do for a beginner.
Yep. So my approach to teaching is one that's quite scientific. I come from a background in working with an intense field of computing, enterprise IT.
Okay.
In design and architecture, so for the investment banking industry. So I had a very scientific approach to life, working on things like quantum mechanics, fiber optics, and stuff like that. So the way that I look at yoga, again, is it's an ancient science. So I have a very scientific approach. So the first workshop we did was around the health benefits and a bit how yoga works from a scientific perspective, and the next workshop is just an evolution of that, going into something known as the chakras, which are the main energy centers of the body. So if you look at it from a scientific perspective, the points in the body where there's concentrated nerve endings and how they directly relate to consciousness, not just the mind, but how they directly relate back to our field of consciousness. So I like to look at the chakras as basically like our gears of consciousness. Like they need to work together like a gearing system, and they tend to come out of balance through all sorts of processes in life, emotional distress, traumas, all these sorts of things. It's not just our physical body that goes out of balance. There's all these other subtle layers of energy, and our chakras are really, really integral to that overall experience of consciousness. So it's looking at that energy system and putting into some practical exercises known as kriyas, which is the form of yoga that Kundalini's kind of based on or derived from, which is what's known as kriya-based yoga. Kriya just means action.
Okay.
From Sanskrit, and kriyas are basically just a series of actions or postures and breath work and focus and these things that we've been talking about put into a specific chain of events to have an outcome on an aspect of consciousness. So whether it be the body, the mind, or a aspect of the psyche, anything like that. And there's literally thousands of these kriyas that are done, and we were just the balancing the chakras workshop will be around looking at learning about how what the chakras are, where they are, what they relate to physically in the body, and how they work, and then doing some kriyas to help bring them into balance, which is then helping ultimately kick off the natural healing processes of the body.
Okay, so if I was coming along to a yoga workshop for the first time, what might I experience at the balancing the chakras session?
So we would start off with a bit of the background of what they are, and then a bit of philosophy around what they are, and then move into some breathing exercises to help bring the mind into balance and get us set for ultimately the practice. And then once we've done that, move into then some kriya-based work. And again, have with a workshop, it allows more time to delve into things a bit deeper. Generally, in a one-hour yoga class, it's quite constrained in time, and you really, to get through everything, you're really just focusing on giving people that experience of get through the, you know, more of the physical nature and of the class. But in a workshop, you're allowed that extra time to sort of delve in and out of, you know, the more of the philosophy around it, or the science, or sometimes the spiritual aspects of things, and you can go deeper into to certain areas of it. And I think that's where the real benefits of workshops are, just having that extra time.
So we're looking at combining movement in the body, breathing,
concentration, focus, which is again other aspects of the eight limbs of yoga, and then the philosophy around it as well, which again is a part of yoga, is having that philosophical, not only side of it, but understanding exactly why you're doing things. Like, it's fine to just, that's another thing I found, a lot of yoga classes, it's great, you go, you do the exercises, you leave, you feel great, but a lot of the time I would be like, why exactly am I doing this? You know, like, why am I sitting in this specific way? Why am I breathing in this really weird way? Why am I rolling my eyes up in my head to look at the crown of my skull? Like, why am I doing that? And again, I think that's a big element that often can get left out in classes, because we're so focused on trying to run the class as a practice that's just focused on the physical body. And then it becomes very much like it, which is a skill in itself. To be able to run a class like that is not an easy thing to do at all. But again, it's great for the physical body, but we're missing out other aspects of what yoga is all about.
Yeah, sure. It's also a time thing too.
Definitely a time
in those
thing.
Classes.
Yeah, an hour. I think an hour is, it's great for a movement class. Like, you know what I mean? Like, moving is great to do that. It's really good for the body. But, to really delve into things, I think that's where the workshops bring that extra benefit.
Okay, terrific. Alongside Kundalini yoga, you also have other health practices that you do that have really helped you to recover from your illness. I wanted to talk to you about a plant-based diet and what the importance of your nutrition has been to complement your practice and your healing. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, this morning before we started, we were talking about you go to the farmers markets quite regularly. What do you get from a farmer's market that, you know, we can't get from a supermarket?
Well, I definitely find that, again, this is now more moving into a holistic approach of what this, the yoga ultimately opened up all the doors to these ways of thinking. If we go back to before, how we were talking about breaking down the ego and all these sorts of things, this is what this kind of has led to. These practices, the first thing that came was moving into a plant-based diet, which is, you know, I was a huge meat eater before all this happened, and just, you know, living in that process of got to go to the supermarket, got to get my meat, got to, you know, all these kind of robotic processes. And once I started to break down the ideas of myself, it started to open up, you know, the doors of compassion and, you know, like these realizations that things maybe aren't quite what they seem like, or what I've been telling myself that they are in the head. And that's what led to things like going to the farmer's market and moving onto a plant-based diet, is because once you start to ask yourself one question, you can start to ask yourself multiple questions. So one of those questions that I started to ask myself was like, well, maybe it's not right to, you know, eat meat and have a, you know, these processes that are not only, you know, what I'd find out were bad for me, but also bad for the planet and cruel to animals, which is, again, something I never thought about in my life, because, you know, I was just a meat eater and, you know, I bought my food from the supermarkets and that's just how things work.
Yeah.
And then again, when I started to break all these things down in my head, it led to these changed practices. And plant-based diet was one of the big things I think that really sped up the recovery of surgery and the things that I went through, because within a couple of months of removing things like sugar, meat and dairy from my diet, I can't even describe how much better I felt. And then from there, like, I really wanted to see how far I could actually take that, and that's what led to starting to go to things like farmers markets. I started to do my own independent research on where food comes from and you know, things that I think are pretty general knowledge now that we're sort of, a lot of people, because we've got you know, the exchange of information through the internet and stuff like that, people are pretty aware that things like, you know, modern day farming practices for big corporations and big chains and supermarkets, they're not the best practices, and the food's not handled in the best way. You know, it's sprayed with chemicals and certain things injected with maybe hormones and stuff like this to make things grow faster. And I started to look into that stuff, you know, independently, and did my own research, and then put it into practice. Didn't just take the information and formulate an opinion, put it into practice. And that's what led me to then going, right, I want to get the most, you know, organic food from, you know, as close to the ground as I possibly can get it. And that's from farmers markets.
Yeah, and produce with the most care and compassion possible.
Care, compassion for the environment. And also another thing that I find that I really enjoy about going to farmers markets is I find like places like this, you know, like supermarkets are actually quite intense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You sort of go in there, everybody's kind of in their own world, you know, they're pushing their trolley around, they're in a hurry to get in and out. You know, then you've got to queue up at the supermarket. The cashier doesn't want to serve you. You know, nobody's really having a good time in there.
It's an unpleasant experience.
Yeah, and then you go to things like farmers markets, and everybody specializes in what they do. So you can go to a guy that just grows oranges, and he's so passionate about growing oranges, and you can chat to him for like 10 minutes about oranges, and he'll tell you all about how he's grown them and the processes that he's gone. And I find that's quite beautiful.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, if we really start to look at some of the subtler energies that
Absolutely.
We are consuming,
yeah.
You know, you're consuming compassion and dedication in, you know, eating this gentleman's oranges.
And you know what? It just, even going beyond that side of things, like those subtle forms of energies, it just shines through in just the taste alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I eat things now from the farmer's market, and to me, when I reconnected or actually really, really discovered that, it was like, wow, I've never really tasted food this good before. You know, like and I was living in London for 10 years, and it's actually quite shocking over there how lacking in flavour fruit and veggies, produce is just, it's flown in. They, you know, they obviously can't grow a lot of the stuff themselves in London or in the UK. You know, so a lot of those fruits and things and veggies are flown in from around the world, and you know, they're frozen and kept in storage for 12 months. And by the time that the food gets to your plate, you know, all that vibrational energy of, you know, freezing and moving it around the world and exposing it to other sorts of chemicals and stuff, it's changed the vibrancy of that fruit. And then you eat something from the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And it, like, it explodes in your mouth. It's incredible.
In Ayurveda, you know, we talk about prana, so the energy, the life force of the food. And if we're eating food that is so processed and so handled and so over-treated and
chemicals, no life force.
There's no life force.
Absolutely.
And so we have millions of people on this planet consuming food that has no life force in it. So it's no wonder that they're just eating
empty calories. And that's why people, that's one of the biggest reason why people are getting sick. It's a no-brainer for me. And I absolutely believe that one of the reasons I got sick to begin with was heavily related to diet.
Yeah.
I always thought I ate quite well, but I look back on it and I just can't believe how far off the mark I actually was in terms of, you know, just overloading myself with meat and dairy and highly processed sugars.
Yeah.
And I look back on it now and then it makes me marvel at how incredible the human body is to be able to tolerate what we can actually throw at it. I mean, I was a heavy drinker and a smoker and, you know, eating meat three times a day, and, you know, all of my meals had animal products in it, and whenever I couldn't get a quick meal, you know, I'd be looking for a chocolate bar or something like that. And I absolutely believe that was a huge contribution to me deteriorating in my health. And I look at it now and the way that I eat now and what I'm able to do I eat very little food now, yet I run, you know, hundreds of Ks a week and off very little food.
So,
because it comes down to the prana.
That's right.
The prana, I'm getting more life force from what I'm eating.
Yes.
And I'm therefore...
have to consume less.
Consume less, and I feel great.
Yeah.
In comparison. So
you mentioned you're running.
Yeah.
And now this is the other side to your story, which is so profoundly inspirational, because not only did you recover so fast from the brain tumour, but you then went on to become a Guinness World Record marathon runner very, very quickly as well, which just seems in my mind to be completely, you know, the way that we treat recovery of in the Western world. How is it possible that you went from being in a wheelchair to becoming a Guinness World Record marathon runner?
Yeah, it's something that I still find quite remarkable myself looking back on it. And again, it definitely comes down to the things that we've been talking about. Like I said earlier, the first 6 months of my recovery, trying to take the modern Western approaches of taking medication and all those sorts of things, weren't working for me. And then it was quite remarkable when I started to take up these practices like yoga and the diet. The impact it had on my body was insane. And that's what I believe led to me not only just learning to walk again, but like you were saying, within about 12 months of leaving hospital in the wheelchair, I was back competitively running again. And that's what opened up the door to you know, once I started feeling more life in me again, it not only opened up the doors to feeling good, but it opened up the doors of the real possibilities of what's possible in life.
Yeah.
And one of those things just stems from being able to think to do something. And I don't think if I felt that good and had that much, you know, sort of more energy flowing through me, I would have ever even considered doing something like trying to run seven marathons in 7 days, let alone doing it on seven continents. You know, so I believe that, you know, this again, I think the thing that you touch on, prana, life force, is once you give yourself, you know, we're designed to live, you know, we're designed to have this energy flowing through us, and all we have to do is actually just have a little bit of discipline and self-control and focus on being healthy, and then our experience of life will be quite incredibly different.
So on that note, Doug, I just want to really acknowledge just how inspirational your story is. And, you know, at Beachlane, we're really excited about helping you to get this story out there to more people, because any person can do what you have done.
Absolutely.
Maybe not become a Guinness World Record marathon runner. I think you need to be predisposed to running,
and you have to want to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody wants to do different things.
Exactly. So, and the point is that, you know, we can break down these barriers of our mind. We can get healthy. We can just push ourselves just a little bit, try something new, and the world will open up.
100%. 100%.
So if anyone is listening and would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I think the best way through Beach Lane would be I think we're going to have some a night here.
We are, yeah. So a part of our Spring Festival, we're hosting a special event. It's called An Evening with Doug Wilson.
Yep.
And on the healing benefits of Kundalini yoga.
Yeah, so just elaborating a little bit further on like what we've talked about this morning, going a bit more in depth into the story and the processes that I went through. And I think that's going to lead into then running some regular classes here. And so, you know, hopefully bringing that to more people and just hopefully getting more people a bit more active and a bit more, you know, within themselves. And just confidence within themselves.
And from the sounds of it, you know, you're quite a compassionate teacher that has an amazing amount of experience to draw on. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to coming to your classes and taking my Kundalini yoga practices that little bit further. So I invite anyone who can come along to our Spring Festival to join in on our evening with Doug. It'll be on Saturday the 8th of October at 7 p.m. and tickets are on sale now via our website. If you'd also like to come along to join into Doug's workshop, Balancing the Chakras, that will be held here also on Sunday the 18th of September, and tickets for that are also on our website. And otherwise they can get in touch with you, Doug, via Instagram and Facebook.
I've got my Kundalini Running Instagram page and Facebook page, which I release most of my information about what I'm up to and doing through those channels. So that's just the Kundalini Running.
And there's also some really spectacular photographs that you take from all of your treks around the world and the running that you do, which is really wonderful to keep up with.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming along and chatting with me,
Doug.
Thanks
for having me.
It's been a pleasure. If anyone is interested in our Spring Festival, it will be on October 7th, 8th and 9th. Doug will also be doing a free Kundalini yoga class on the Sunday. So if you've just been even slightly remotely interested in what we're talking about today, or you really do have an interest in Kundalini yoga, please come along and try it out. We'll also be hosting a whole range of other free classes for you to experience what happens here at Beach Lane. And just a big shout out to Radio Carrum for all their legendary work in the community. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next time.
Cheers.